Okay, welcome back. And I guess we could look at this Tomahawk issue as pivotal, at least in terms of names and name recognition. Will he or won't he? I think he will. And I don't know how he's going to try and pass it off as being reasonable, logical, or geopolitically wise, but he'll come up with something. His controllers will give him a few buzzwords, a sentence or two, and he'll stand on it. Well, I'm only selling him to France. Don't worry, the French will take good care of him. Well, the French ship him right away to Ukraine, and Trump is off the hook. Not really. At any rate, the Tomahawk issue seems to be a big one. Let's find out what Mitchell Henderson has to say about that and other things as well. Mitch, are you there? Welcome back.
I am here, and I think that we should start out, we're talking about logic and reason. We should start out mentioning that Zelensky offered to put Trump in for the Nobel Peace Prize if Trump gives him Tomahawk missiles with which to attack deep into Russia.
Yep.
Just the irony of that, you know. I will put
help me make war. Yeah, let me add something to that, because you've stepped on it perfectly. Let me add on. Trump originally said, yeah, I would give Tomahawks to Ukraine if they tell me how they're going to be used. Har, har. And then he changed that. I won't give Tomahawks to Ukraine if Putin comes to the peace table and ends the war. He's threatening Putin again. Otherwise, I will give them to Ukraine. So there's three different things right there. Go ahead.
Okay, well, you know, you have to look at the rhetoric in Europe also. Merz is in Germany is talking about building the German army up to invade Russia by 2029.
Insane.
So he's actually talking about the German army invading Russia. He's out of his ever-loving mind.
Yep.
You know, I mean,
absolutely.
Hitler had an army of about 6 million people, and he couldn't take Russia. What does he think he's going to do with a 500,000 man army? If he that's probably the biggest he could grow it into. And what's he going to do with that? You know.
And we must remember also, you know, the ratio. You know the ratio. What is it? 10?
10 to 1.
Ten to one. Yeah, explain that just a little bit. That's really important.
Well, when you're on the attack, the ratio is usually 10 to 1. You're going to lose 10 men for every man that the defender loses. Okay, so it's just this is what you have to. This is the arithmetic that you have to do if you're planning an invasion.
Yeah.
And you try to do things to reduce that number, like the whole blitzkrieg. The blitzkrieg concept of the blitzkrieg was to reduce that number. George Patton wanted very aggressive attacks to reduce that number. Okay, the more aggressive you are, the less people you're going to lose. Okay, on the attack. Okay, it's because the people defending, they have cover, concealment. They don't have to stretch the lines of communication to keep up with the movements and stuff. So it's just easier to defend and less costly to defend than it does to attack. So they would have to figure this all out. So if Russia has a 2 million man army, that means the German army would realistically have to be up to about 20 million men strong. That's not going to ever happen.
No. So, all right, very good. Go ahead.
So, anyways, everybody, Europe really wants war with Russia. Listen, Russia has no intention of, you know, it's actually insane and stupid to say that Russia is going to attack NATO. Why would they do that? How is that possibly in Russia's interest? Russia doesn't have any desire to control any other country in the world. Russia just wants to take care of itself. It's an old culture. It wants to protect its culture, its people, its land, okay? It does not want to go out and conquer other peoples. It's not on any campaign to do this. Russia has never said that they want to attack the United States. It has never said that they want regime change in the United States. It has never said that they want to break the United States up into a bunch of little countries. that the United States persistently says that they intend to have regime change in Russia, and they want to break Russia into 17 different entities. They say this publicly.
This is insane. Completely insane.
The people out there hear us talk about regime change and splitting Russia up all the time. They never hear Russia talk about invading us, and yet they think that Russia's the bad guy still. It's like this, people can't think. They just listen to what they're told by a media that does nothing but lie to them, lies by omission, mostly lies by omission. They don't tell you any of these convenient facts. Facts like none of these countries that are our enemies have any intention of invading us or occupying us. We're the ones that want to mess with them. They have no intention of messing with us. And the best reason we came up with on April 12th of 2024, the New York Times said, well, we have to attack these countries, Jeff, because they're ruled by patriarchies and they do not have gay rights. This is why we have to, it is a moral imperative that we attack them because they're not sodomites like we are. Read that story about Sodom and Gomorrah, and that was what the whole thing was about. The sodomites want everybody to be sodomite. They're not satisfied if you let them be sodomite. They want you to be one also. So, you know, it's never a thing of, see, I remember this back in the 1980s. The LGBT rights people wanted the government out of the bedroom. Now they want the government in the bedroom because they want to make your kids into LGBT people.
That's
they want
true.
To groom your kids. They want to shove it down your throat. Okay, so and they want to use the government. They are using the government, especially during the Biden regime. They're using the government to do that, to shove LGBT culture down people's throats, okay? Especially the children, you know? So this is the thing. It's sort of like, you know, the reasons why we have to go in and attack these people and destroy them is our lame reasons. I mean, why can't we just leave them alone? You know, if you look at what Russia's been trying to promote, and this has been Russia's big project, okay, and Putin's not wrong in doing this because logistics is everything, okay? A war is one thing, but logistics is very of the utmost importance in a war. And what he's been trying to do is reshape the world economy, okay? So the BRICS model of world order is a little different. So you have a country like South Africa, which has a woke culture. Gay people get married in South Africa. Gay people are protected in South Africa. Women can be in high positions in the government and stuff, okay? In Iran, they'll kill you if you're gay, okay? They'll women can shut up and, you know, do as they're told. They cannot be in high positions and stuff. These two countries have directly opposite cultures, okay, and social mores. Yet they're both in BRICS, and their philosophy is we're doing business with you. South Africa has no business saying anything about Iranian culture and what their rules are. Iran doesn't harp on South Africa for being a sodomite nation. Okay, so. You see, this is the model of the world they want, is you do what you want and we do what we want. We'll do business with each other, but we do not interfere in each other's affairs. And it doesn't matter how big you are, because China's in BRICS and Ethiopia's in BRICS. China's got lots of money and Ethiopia has none, but they have the same voice in BRICS, mm-hmm. and they have mm-hmm. no right to go in and tell the other country how to live, what to do, what to think.
That's right.
Okay, so this is an American thing where it's important what you think. They want you to think. They want total control of you. Okay. You know, it's just how it is. And I got to tell you, to preface the Civil War in America, I want to tell you that the Civil War in America is about Israel. Okay. And what it is, if everything's going fine and everything is peachy, there's no necessity for a police state. You need a police state if things are falling apart, okay? So what is falling apart in the world is Israel is falling apart because they had 25 years of social credit built up on this war on terrorism against the Islamic people. And in 2 years, they lost all that. All that goodwill and credit went away. They became the boogeyman, the bad guy of the world. I mean, 157 countries out of 193 recognized Palestine. 57 countries officially accused Israel of genocide. Okay, 77 countries walked out on Netanyahu's speech at the General Assembly. They're very unpopular. They're unpopular here in America. And America is very important to this project, okay, because Israel doesn't exist without American support. It does not exist without us. We are the key to their survival, their existence. We're the key to them going to war with anybody. I mean, they need us to drag along. So I know everybody's elated about this peace treaty in Israel, and this is more hyperbole and showmanship by Trump.
In Gaza? You're talking about Gaza.
It's another complete Israeli fraud.
We know that.
Yeah, listen, what Trump's peace plan is it's a total surrender of the Palestinian people to Israel. And I don't think that's going to happen. If Gaza agrees to all the terms of Trump's peace plan, okay, what they have done is they have done the stupidest thing they've ever done in history because they have snatched defeat out of the jaws of victory. You can look at the propaganda war and public opinion around the world. It's never been better for the Palestinians. If they sign this peace treaty, it is over. Their hopes for their own country, their hopes for everything is over. I mean, imagine this. Trump wants this peace board who will appoint all the people who are going to rule Gaza. And you know who the president and chairman of this peace board is? Well, Donald Trump. Well, the Palestinians know that that Trump is Netanyahu's bitch. They know that. They're perfectly aware of that. Okay, and he wants to appoint the guy to be the, like, governor general on the ground to be Tony Blair. Look, they appointed Tony Blair in 2007 to this quartet board that was trying to make peace and redo the Palestinian Authority and make peace and drive it towards this. And the Palestinians just wouldn't even let Tony Blair come in the country because he's so totally on Israel's side. He's Israel's bitch also, and they know it. The Arabs know it. Everybody knows it. So you got to ask yourself the question, well, why are the Arab countries and Turkey and Egypt going along with this? Well, they're going along with it because it's not going to happen, because Hamas would be stupid. They're talking about them decommissioning, laying down their arms, decommissioning, and basically a proxy of Israel, the United States, and this peace board of supposedly neutral countries will be running the Gaza Strip, meaning that all Gaza aspirations are done and over. I mean, if you look at the 20-point peace plan, this is an Israeli dream thing. But keep in mind that the Israelis, there's things they don't like about it, and I don't think they're too worried about it because I think they know that it's not going to work. The hostage release is all well and good. That does not make the Palestinians look bad, okay? And it's really not that much of a... Right now, with all the world opinion on their side, well, they don't really need those hostages anymore. It doesn't give them any leverage over anything, okay, at this point. So the only thing that will give... what this is they're asking Hamas to surrender. And at the end of the day, they're not going to surrender. Look back in the Camp David Accords, and they almost had a Palestinian state then. But there was some people that said, oh, no, you know, we can't just have this Gaza Strip and West Bank Palestinian state. You know, this is, we need the whole thing. We're not just going to give this to Israel. Do you think after all this bombing and all this terror that they have changed their mind on that? I don't think so.
Not a chance. No, and you know what Smotrich said? I forget what his rank is over there, defense chief or something. Smotrich?
Yeah.
He said, we're going to get the hostages back and then go finish the job.
Yeah, of
They're going to go right back at it.
Yeah, of course they are. So you know, this is even, there's a verse in the Bible that says, they'll be saying, peace, 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 then sudden destruction will fall.
Yeah.
And I kind of, this comes to mind when I see what they're doing. I mean, Trump is up there saying, oh, well, I have brought peace. After 3,000 years, finally, I bring peace to the Middle East. So he's bragging before he even has it done. Okay. These are the things that he should say after the whole thing is done.
Yeah.
Okay, he's having his moment now. But, you know, it's all going to fall apart, and this is critical because, you know, if you go back to Charlie Kirk, he's assassinated in order to shut him up because he was drifting away from supporting Israel. And this is he was very key to them because was the voice to the youth of America. So the way that this was going down was
right.
that they didn't want to just come out and say, well, we're going to throw people in prison for being, anti-Semitic. What they want to do is they want everybody to hate the left. Okay, they want the left to look like jerks. They want them to look hateful, which they do. They look very hateful. They look very unreasonable. You know, he sends riot police out there, but then he doesn't really arrest anybody because he wants them to keep rioting. He wants the situation to get worse. He wants the left. He knows the left will oppose anything he does. If he says, I'm going to give each and every American $1 million, the left will throw a fit and demand that he not do it and protest him doing that. Okay, so that's what it's down to, because the manipulation is they're just trying to make the left and the right hate each other.
Okay? Got it.
Because the left is in the minority. They can make the first argument that we're... He can declare the Insurrection Act. He can go out and throw these people in jail. Okay, he can throw the whole left opposition in jail because those are the people who are against Israel. Okay, and that pretext will turn into anti-Semitism is the problem. Because see, they've allowed free speech in the past. Like, I think just the last 6 months we've kind of had free speech on social media. Israel has, for all practical purposes, Israel has purchased TikTok now. If you remember, the Congress attacked TikTok because when the war started 2 years ago, TikTok was putting out videos telling the truth about what Israel was doing. TikTok revealed that for example, Netanyahu had everybody stand down at the border and let this attack happen. They revealed that he had disarmed all the people on the border by the Gaza Strip there. TikTok revealed that even though they could have air power at that music festival within 5 minutes and have troops there probably in 15 minutes, it took them 7 or 8 hours to get there. Okay, Charlie Kirk himself said, I've been to the Gaza border. Not even a bird can get through that wall without somebody noticing it.
For sure.
He could not believe that Hamas just got down. He was sure that they had to have stand-down orders. Okay, so the U.S. Congress attacked TikTok because it was telling the truth. Truths that they did not want.
Yeah, Charlie kept asking over and over again, who gave the stand-down orders for the Israeli military to stand down?
He kept asking that.
Yeah.
And that's why he's not deceased. Okay, this is a warning to everybody. Okay, so let me tell you, when you look at L.A. and you look at Portland and you look at Chicago, you look at the riot police out there, you look at the riots against ICE, I mean, these are Americans protesting, kicking illegal aliens and criminals out of our country. Yeah. Does this make sense? I mean, this is ridiculous. But they have got Antifa and all these people worked up over it. These people would never protest for veterans' rights, but they will protest for illegal aliens and criminal rights. Okay, so there's no logic there. All right, it's just all it is it's just activism to attack, attack, attack. It's building up hatred between the two sides. This has been going on for a while. It's like, for example, they always attack the right with free speech. By whittling away free speech and freedom of religion, and then they attack the left by not giving them the gun control that they so badly want. Okay,
right.
So these things are meant to agitate. And if you just look at if you do a meta analysis of social media and the news, all you see is both sides are just aggravating each other. They're just pointing out hatred on each other. This is building up. This will create the Civil War. The Civil War will be the pretext to impose a police state. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, because you have to have a reason. Like I'm saying, a police state, you can't have a police state if everything's just peachy and everybody's wonderful, comfortable, and has everything they need. You know? They need a police state when things are out of control. They want things to be out of control.
Totally correct. I agree.
So this is where they're headed. Back when I was in Central America dealing with the communist revolutionaries down there, it's a simple, basic thing. They would, for example, I was out in Guatemala, out in the Petén in the jungle, and I asked these people. They had a president then named Kjell Lagerlöf. He was a Guatemalan, but his family was from Norway, so he had this Norwegian name. Okay, so I thought I'd ask the people out in the jungle there. I said, well, what do you think of your president, you know? And their answer is, well, what's a president? I said, well, he's the head of your government. And they said, well, what's a government, you know? I mean, because the government had no impact on these people at all. So they tended to not be against the government because they didn't even know it existed. The government had nothing to do with them. They live in the jungle. They're subsistence farmers. The government had a little effect on their lives. So what the communist guerrillas do is they come in and they start having demonstrations, terrorist attacks, guerrilla attacks and stuff to evoke a response from the government. And the response that they evoke is the government comes down and starts coming down on the people. Now the government knows who the government is. Now the people know who the government is. Now the people know who the president is. Now the people are opposed to him because the government is a problem for them. That's called, in Marxist revolutionary terminology, that's called raising the political consciousness of the people. Okay, so Charlie Kirk was raising the political consciousness of the people, too. What Charlie Kirk's assassination showed is it showed that the left are hateful, smug, condescending, rude, illogical, or reasonable people. They're vile humans. Vile, hateful people. Okay, now, there's a difference. 5 years ago, if I asked people, should the government break up these riots and stuff, the people would say, oh, no, it's the right to be out there to protest. I talk to people now that wish the National Guard would just open fire on these illegal aliens and illegal alien and Antifa protesters.
I'll bet that's not an uncommon sentiment.
This has moved. They have moved this. This is psychological warfare. They have they have moved the people to this. It does not escape many people that 2 years ago, the left was out protesting free speech because free speech. Remember, 15,000 people in Massachusetts marched against free speech because free speech is hate speech. This was just a few years ago. I drive down the street and I see these Antifa woke people out with signs demanding free speech. So you have to understand something. When the right talks about the Bill of Rights and they talk about the Constitution, they're talking about protecting individual people's rights, okay? When the left talks about the Bill of Rights or the Constitution, they are using the Constitution and the Bill of Rights as a weapon against the people.
Yeah.
Okay, they weaponize it to their tactical advantage. Okay, so let's compare January 6th with the riot in Portland. Okay, in January 6th, it was not a violent protest at all. It was very, nobody actually, only one woman got killed and the police killed her. She was an innocent person. It was unjustifiable shooting. Ashley Babbitt, they killed her. Just in cold blood, actually. Okay. It was a black police officer killing a white woman. So, of course, it's perfectly okay. Reparations
yeah.
and all that.
Oh, of course. Absolutely. Oh, there was another, Mitch, there was another black-on-white racist hate murder committed. I've got the story going up. I don't know how old the black guy was, 40-something. The white woman, 37 years old, I believe, mother of two, shot her to death, dumped her body behind a dumpster. They got him, but what will happen to him, I don't know. This is a big, big story. Black hatred, pathological, psychopathic hatred now instilled among many, not all, many in the black community, and they are killing whites. This should be a front page story.
Identity politics and critical race theory had the purpose of making people of color hate white people.
Oh, yeah.
They had the purpose of making hate people, white people hate white people. But now they have a thing, a new term going around called black fatigue. And this is where people are sick and tired of listening to black people whining about reparations and their rights and their victimhood, or just acting badly, like in restaurants and carnival cruise lines and stuff. They're acting badly and stuff. It's called black fatigue. So of course, there's Asian fatigue, there's people of color fatigue, Hispanic fatigue, LGBT fatigue. You know, these terminologies coming up, they're naming something very real. And that is half the population sick and tired of this bullshit, this nonsense. And so first they taught the left to hate the white people, okay, and now that's all coming back to them, okay? And this sets it up beautifully for a police state, okay? So the problem for us is that they are initially going to be attacking the left for this, but then ultimately what it's going to come down to is a loyalty test. If you do not kiss Israel's butt, if you do not worship them, you're in trouble. You know, they're going to come after you, and right. They don't care if you're right or left.
No, that's true.
They'll come after you. That will be the thing. In other words, the anti-Semitism laws will be the contraband goods that they enter into our body politic doors of this left-white hatred. Okay.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
Because they'll identify leftism with anti-Semitism, and then at first it'll be the leftists are anti-Semitic, then it'll be if you're anti-Semitic, you're left. You see, that's the way they do this. It's just like them starting the drumbeat of like Mike Pompeo, then Mike Johnson saying anti-Zionism is anti-Semitism. This is a lie, but this is the official view of the U.S. government, you see. So, and it's not true, but they're making it true because they define it. Okay, there'll be an Insurrection Act, there'll be, they're starting to label people as terrorists. Antifa's already been labeled a terrorist organization. Okay, so this will go on. Eventually, it'll be... Mitch and Jeff will be labeled this, you know. So,
Could
I mean,
be.
You know, we've gone through this before. We've been labeled by certain groups, ADL and SPLC and stuff, but this will become official government policy at some point. But getting back to January 6th, so January 6th shows you what the government can do. They took a law that was a law meant to protect witnesses against retaliation and threw protesters in jail for 20 years by really, really stretching this law to make it include the actions of these people. And really, you know, this is nonsense. This law is not, that's not the purpose of this law at all. So they know they can do it. FBI people have said that the most brilliant and well-conducted psychological warfare operation ever done by the FBI was January 6th, because they were able to scare white people and the right away from protesting.
Do you know how many FBI agents were actually part of the so-called J6 mob? It's over 270.
It was like
270. 270.
Okay. Yeah, I've heard high numbers. Yeah. So they were.
These are FBI agents in the crowd, inciting the crowd, friends, forcing them, urging them to break the law, doing everything they can.
What about the part that they did not use, Jeff? The bombings of the FBI building. Why didn't that ever turn into anything? Well, of course, because the FBI did that themselves.
Funniest thing. That's right.
Decided, okay,
pipe bombs.
This is not necessary. Let's not do this, you know. So they just let that slide. It's not like them to let that slide. So you know, now with Planetary Gotham and stuff, this Tyler Robinson, they knew what he was saying months before the Charlie Kirk assassination. They knew what he was saying, and that's why they picked him to be the patsy, because he had the trail, you know, the social media trail that could implicate them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how do I know that he's a patsy? Okay. And this, I'm speaking from my experience with the government. The way I know he's a patsy is because they had over 20 other people discussing the assassination of Charlie Kirk on social media, on the dark web, with him in the months leading up to the assassination. So under the law, those people are all accessories before the fact, okay? Then his boyfriend, his girlfriend, whatever you want to call him, was talking to him also and knew all about it, okay? And they can prove it. And to say, and when he made these text messages acting like she or he didn't know, okay, or she didn't know, however you want to say it, that was just what he was doing to cover for him, his boyfriend, okay? So, consequently, the way I know he's a patsy is because the FBI knows for a fact that he didn't do it, and so they're not gonna round up these 20 other people and put them on death row also.
Yeah.
That's why. They're not making any arrests of these people. And it's just like this. It's just like when I was a cop and I was interrogating people. If I was interrogating people to see who it was wrong, people who know that they did it tend not to point the finger at another specific person. They might say, well, somebody else did it, but they're loath to say, oh, Johnny Jones did it. Okay. They're loath to do that. They just don't want to do it because they know who did it, and they know it wasn't the other person.
So they don't
tend to want to point the finger. Now some people are so detestable that they will. Okay, but generally they won't. The FBI themselves, they don't want to send these 20 other people to prison for life or to their death. Because they know that they didn't actually do anything. And that's why there's no arrests made. And this tells you that Tyler Robinson is a patsy. Okay, plus your own research into the assassination tells us exactly who the assassin was and tells us exactly what the motive was. So, you know. And I just find it... And everything I'm talking about is Israel and the Civil War in America. Just think about it. The war against the left is based on the assassination of Charlie Kirk, which was actually, they killed him because he quit supporting Israel. It had nothing to do with the left, okay? But they pinned it on, the Patsy is a leftist tranny, well, tranny lover, at least, you know. So, you know, we can see what they're doing. I mean, they're building this hatred up. You can see it all day long on social media. They've just agitated everybody up to that they can't stand each other. Okay. The problem with the right is you really have to push the right very hard, Jeff, because people on the right, they don't tend to be the hateful people. Okay. They're just not hateful. They did a survey and asked people on the left, do you think it's necessary to do violence for political reasons? Only 3% of the people on the right said yes. And I think it was like
3%
of the
three.
People. 3% on the right said yes. 38% on the left said yes. And even more said in some circumstances. But absolutely, we're talking about absolutely use violence. Only 3% of the right and 38% of the left. And here's the thing, and I've said this before. If for some reason the left gets back into power, these people who are called the Democratic Party of the United States, these are communists. These are Marxist communists. They're Bolsheviks. Okay, they will have no problem rounding up people on the right and exterminating them. They did it in Russia. They did it in China. They did it in Cambodia. They've done it everywhere they've taken power. They have no problem killing you, man, woman, and child. Okay, they will run you up, do it. They will round you up and execute you. They'll do it. Okay, they have no qualms about it. It's the right that has a problem. The right is people with individual freedom who want to live and let live. The left doesn't want you to live or let live. You see every day, like, some old man in Florida on the beach has a MAGA hat and some blue-haired woman comes up and beats him because he's got a MAGA hat on. I mean, they have utter hatred for you. You could see if there's a big MAGA rally, that MAGA rally people will totally accept a woke or leftist person coming to the rally and they'll be nice to them. But there's that same person walk across the street. Yeah. And they know that they're a Trump supporter. There's nothing but hatred. You better get out, and they'll physically attack them.
Right.
So people need to wake up and see that this is how it is. The left hates you. They hate you.
Okay? They really do.
Okay,
this is the country split down the middle. It's split.
Right.
Yeah. Mitch, I need to make a point of clarification. I got to get it in the program here. It's related. There are. People have written to me and asked, why isn't there much more discussion about the brown shirt man, BSM, that I have spent so much time, Gary Holland has helped, some of you out there have helped, covering, researching, and presenting. I've got the whole thing basically laid out now. It's all done. And honestly, 2 days after the shooting of Charlie Kirk, I had it pretty well worked out. And 4 days afterward, I published the whole thing. Now, there isn't much chatter all over the internet because the Zionists don't want it. They don't want any attention put on the brown shirt man if they can avoid any of it. They're pushing their stupid rifle scenarios or exploding microphone crap and on and on. That's what they're going to do. They did, because the brown shirt man did it. I've proven it. It's right there. You can see the damn story. You can see the video. You can see freeze frames. You can see photos. He did it. Okay, we know how it was done. One person that I know of has been routinely stealing my work.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm old-fashioned. I don't steal other people's work. I credit them, and it bothers me. I worked hard on this, so did others, and we got it done. We did it. The Zionists don't want this out there, so they've got this guy stealing my work. Well, the most recent thing he stole was the video showing the brown shirt man shoot and kill Charlie. And he said in a voiceover of this video, "There is your shooter. There's the communist assassin right there." I said, "What?
Well,
communist?
Not a communist.
Of course not. Thank you. This guy, this thief, and his name is Val, and he's on social media, and he has never given me credit for anything, is trying to spin this away from the fact that Charlie Kirk's security team was all Israeli or Israeli hires. You got it? He's not a communist. This guy is working for them, and he's trying to spin people with my work away from the fact that he is a Zionist hire or an Israeli loyalist and a citizen, perhaps. It's outrageous he's calling the brown shirt man a communist. It's a joke, but he's trying to smear my work.
When you told me who this man was, I did research on him, and my research showed that he's a retired Irving police officer from Irving, Texas, a SWAT
team. Don't give his name. I'm not releasing his name.
I'm not going to give his name, but he's a SWAT team guy. After he retired, he was a dispensationalist Christian, and he went with a dispensationalist Christian missionary organization to Guatemala to do first responder stuff, which is code for he was training the military and the police down there in proper techniques. Now, the people who train Guatemala and have been forever is the Israelis, not the Americans, but the Israelis. If you remember back in the 1990s, when the Israelis were training the Guatemalan police, secret police, and military, Guatemala itself was accused of genocide. Okay, and they were just killing, wiping out the base for the communist guerrillas down there. You know, their base supporters and stuff, the Native Americans that lived in the hills. And they did black operations, like they would attack, the military would attack buses and execute everybody and blame it on the communist guerrillas and stuff. I kind of really know all about this because I was there and working in Guatemala in those days, okay? So I know
That's right.
They were up to.
Right.
So just think, this was Israel pushing genocide in Guatemala in the 1980s and 90s, and now they're doing it in the Gaza Strip. So they're just genocidal people. They have a habit of doing this, okay? Anyways, when he was in Guatemala working, this brown shirt man, he was in contact with all these Israeli people that were down there, okay? And then he got hooked up with Charlie Kirk's security. He worked for their security. He's a security man. Now, I saw one other thing. I saw that same video that you show that shows very clearly the assassination. It was on some India news site, but not the common ones. It was one that I hadn't really seen before. And they showed the same thing you showed, but they didn't say anything about him being the shooter, even though you could see he's the shooter. Okay, so they were kind of not really showing what was going on either. You know?
You've seen
it's plain to see.
Thank you.
Who did it. Yeah.
Yeah, you saw the final report. I think I've got it all right. All that needs to be there is there.
I did see it. Yeah.
Thank you.
The very first, just the film itself is obvious. You can see the palm gun. You can see everything. It's there, you know? So, and that's actual footage. Not only that, but there's the shot. And I think this is the first thing that I told you when I was discussing it. Was because when you were asking me about it and stuff, and I was at first just looking at the big picture, and I was accusing Israel of doing it, okay, from the big picture point of view. But what I did is, I think I mentioned this to you, I sat down one Sunday, and I closed my eyes, and I listened to the shot, and I listened to the action from every different direction. So, you know, there were people in the crowd, there were cameras placed all over the place. So what I decided to do is I'm going to close my eyes and listen and listen to the different shots and stuff because I've been shot at a lot. I've been shot at by pistols, by rifles, from close range, from far range. And I know those sounds. If you get shot at a lot, you'll just know. You'll know. So when I heard that when the camera recording right there where Charlie Kirk was, the camera that saw the shooter, when I listened to that one, I said, no, that's a pistol shot from up close. That is not a rifle shot. That is a pistol shot from up close.
Yeah.
And that's when I started, like, looking and stuff, and pretty soon I could see that you basically nailed it. You nailed it. You got the guy.
This guy is stealing my work and now trying to spin it into me saying, de facto, that it's a communist assassin. No, no, no. Don't be fooled by that. Go to the top of rents.com. Look over on the right. I've moved everything over to the right. Look for Charlie's picture. It's all right there, all of it, with a number of other stories that further solidify it. So thank you for that.
And the government is trying to the patsy for this assassination is the communists, is the left. So this guy, Val, he could even be a CIA-encouraged guy. This could be, he could be there to muddy the waters and stuff. Because the brown shirt man is never going to see justice. He's never going to go to jail. He's never going to be investigated. Just looking at him, he's so confident about everything because he's been told that this will not come back to haunt him under any circumstances.
100% confident.
He knows it.
Yeah.
100%. Okay, another thing that the FBI can do, and this I don't think the American public is aware of, but the FBI has the capability, before a criminal act, they can go to the Attorney General and so forth, and they can get you exculpated for doing the criminal act. Okay. If it's something for the good of the country, they can get you forgiven before the act for doing the act.
Got it. Yeah.
A long time ago, that would be impossible. But we live in different times now.
Oh, do we?
Back when I was a cop on the street in Tampa, there's no way you would ever be given permission to commit a crime if you was a law enforcement officer, or even if you was working for law enforcement as a contractor or something like that. You did not have permission to commit a crime, okay? Unless it was, I mean, the only time you got permission to commit a crime would be like if you're selling cocaine to somebody else so that they could bust them, blah, 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 you're possessing and selling cocaine, you can get forgiveness for that. But you could never get forgiveness for doing another kind of crime involving violence where people got hurt. Now you can.
So, true. Yeah, absolutely. Well, again, I just don't want you to think it was a communist who shot him. No. No.
This is Israel.
All right.
This is Israel. So I think everything, bottom line is, I think everything's going to fall to peace. Israel's just going to look worse and worse. And the worse they look, the more they're going to come down on people. And this will be the pretext for the police state. It's all going to be to protect Israel. Okay. That's what it's all about. You're going to lose your freedoms, okay, to protect Israel. They're going to make you shut up to protect Israel, okay? It's not about America. It's about protecting Israel. So, listen, I'm very, very, very sure about how things are panning up. Things are accelerating here and stuff, so... So, you know, you need to go out and you need to buy these 5-gallon buckets and fill them up with rice, fill them up with beans, fill them up with oats, with flour, with all this stuff, because you know what? What you get now, this isn't for just a year or two. This is for what you get now is for the rest of your life. It's for the rest of your life. Matches. You can rub 2 sticks together, that's really nice, but, you know, go out and buy matches. They're real cheap now. Buy a crap load of matches and have them there. You know, it's going to be so much easier because fire is going to be life, you know.
We may well go back to the caveman days where fire is life. No joke.
We're definitely going back to caveman days. So, get as much as you can. I mean, you're going to have to hunt and forage and stuff eventually, but there's a learning curve. You don't want to just all of a sudden have to forage and hunt because it takes a while to get good at it, okay?
Right.
To select the right foods, to to learn how to hunt and trap and stuff like that. That takes time. So it's good to have a little food supply on hand so that you can eat while you're learning to get your food by other means. And then don't rely on your food alone. As soon as it happens and as soon as everything breaks down, you need to start foraging, you need to start hunting. You need to start learning right away. You don't want to wait till your food supplies run out to learn how to do these things.
At the very least, get a Berkey-style gravity water filter. You need something like that. They're not very expensive. At least get that. All right, Mitch, thank you. Thanks for the kind words, too. I worked awfully hard on that, and I know you appreciate that.
Your
vision helped, too.
Go to Amazon and get my book, The Final Wars, How to Survive the Coming Civil War and World War III and the Collapse of Civilization. There's a million tips in there on how to survive
at least.
This.
Yes. Thank you, Mitch. Thanks very much. Talk soon. Be safe.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. Mitchell Henderson, The Final Wars on Amazon. Back tomorrow, Tuesday, off and running. Thank you for being here.